Psalm chapter 12, beginning at verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these verses dealing with thy word. God, help us to learn, help us to be convicted, challenged. Just speak to our hearts today from the message that Pastor Johnson will come and preach to us. Use his words from your words to help us today. Now, Father, we pray that you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they'll trust him. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I want you Baptists out there to look at your watches, your electronic device that has time. People don't even carry a time watch anymore. But look at your watch now. I have 4 minutes until 12. Is that what time you have, approximately? Okay, now you know we have to be done at noon. So, the good news is I have a four-minute sermon. The bad news is I didn't bring it with me. Now, let's talk this morning for a few moments. We are going to have to move rather quickly, and I feel somewhat badly because the subject this morning is going to require a little more time and development than the time that I'm going to need to take for it. So you're going to need to listen very carefully and very quickly. Please turn your devices off now, your cell phones, all that junk. Turn that off and listen very carefully for a few moments. So I'm going to talk to you today about three things that God has promised to preserve for us. Three things God has promised to preserve for us. And by preserve, you do understand it means God is guaranteed it won't change. It's not going to change. See, everything changes, Pastor Johnson. That's true in everything but the three things we're going to talk about today. Now, listen, I may not get to all three of them, which means next week we'll pick it up and take it off from there. However, you know, it's good to know some things never change. Because God never changes. He simply said, I am God, I change not. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is not one of the three things, by the way. This is the three things God has promised to preserve for us. And the first one this morning, we'll get right into the message. Forgive me for not laboring more of an introduction to the sermon today. But listen, the first thing is God has promised to preserve his word for us. In Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, by the way, if you have anything else but a King James Bible, you'll notice it doesn't say that. And we're not going to belabor the point of our position on the King James Bible this morning, but let me just say it very simply for you. Shasta Baptist Church has, from the 31 years of our inception to this day, held the position that God's word for us today in the English language is in the King James Bible. Now, we believe that for many reasons. Now, by the way, we teach that here often so you'll know why that position is such. But we want you to understand something. One of the proofs is, the Bibles that they say are all the same are not the same. And things that are different are not the same. And if they don't say the same thing, then it's not the same. I mean, that's kind of not rocket science, but it's kind of simple. But in your Bibles this morning, it says in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, would you look at it again? I'm going to need you to move around in Scripture. If we get to point 2, we may get stuck on point 1. But look at verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, verse 7 is the subject. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation until the seminary decides we have something better. Until Dr. Reverend Wiggelips comes on and tells us what's better. Until they improve on the Word of God. Every modern version since the first one in the late 1800s, every one of them has been created for several purposes. But number one is this: something's wrong with the Bible. We got to fix it. That's a problem right off the bat, because God said he would preserve his word for us. Listen, the one in verse 6 that says it's pure, been purified, is pure, God said he would preserve that for us. God said, thou wilt preserve them. God, that's God. Thou wilt preserve them from this generation. And if you'll notice the last two words, forever. So this idea of God's preservation of his word is dependent. Now listen, it's very simple today. If you came for a theological lesson, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But God's preservation of his word is dependent upon God. That is the principle of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But let me shake your faith for a moment. That book was given to us over a 1,500-year period of time by 40 different types of people that God used to pen it. Everything from kings to paupers. I did not say they authored it. I said they penned it. But they were 40 different types of people over a 1,500-year period of time. Hey, originally in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And let me shake your faith a little bit more. And there are absolutely none of those original documents available to us today, and haven't had them for generations. More than 2,000 years, actually. Not quite 2,000 years, about 1,500 years. So we have no original documents. A 1,500-year period with 40 different types of people used to pen it. And we have no original documents to verify it by. You say, I'm in trouble, Pastor Johnson. You're in trouble because your faith is in what man says instead of what God says. Now people, listen to me. Listen to your pastor this morning. Our problem today in our churches is we're having too much confidence in man and not enough confidence in God. We want Dr. Reverend Wiggalips to get up in the pulpit spouting Greek and Hebrew to us, telling us and correcting the Bible for us and saying, well, a better rendering for this is, and we'd rather listen to a man tell us what God said than to read what God told us when God said it. There's a problem with the principle, and the problem is there is no way of verifying anything that a man tells you, but if God says that I have confidence in him, then it's a solved issue. You see, the problem today, or that's resolved very simply, is this. God said I would have his word. God promised it. By the way, not just Psalm 12, 6, and 7. Isaiah 59, verse 21, it says the same thing. He promised to preserve his word for this seed and this seed, and for every seed forever thereafter that. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. An every word Bible, not a Bible that's closed. It has to be an every word Bible. Jesus told us that heaven and earth would pass away, but his words would not pass away. And not even a jot or a tittle in the Hebrew language, which you read from right to left instead of left to right. It has all consonants, no vowels in it. And underneath those consonants are shiwas, little dashes and marks that indicate what the vowels are. And they have little squiggly lines, and sometimes it looks like a prong, as it were, boop, stuck on the paper. Each of those little marks is called a shiwa. He said not even a little part of a vowel under a Hebrew consonant would pass away. He promised us that he would give us his word. He promised us that he would keep his word for every generation. Not just those who had it. The average Bible-believing Christian today believes that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God in the originals. But there are no originals to compare to today. That is a fallacious statement. That means it ain't true. You can't say that and say it honestly. If they say the original languages, now you're talking about checking back to Greek and Hebrew. Well, how many of you feel comfortable with that? You feel comfortable if I handed you a Hebrew lexicon or a Greek lexicon and had you look up a word that's in your English Bible and look it in the Greek language, would you feel confident that you're getting a correct understanding from what a Greek lexicon, which is basically a dictionary, telling you what that word is? But you see, if you don't know the languages, then you don't know. But the problem is he didn't promise to preserve it in a language. He promised to preserve his word. One of the most familiar passages we use about the Bible being the inspired word of God is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not was, is. It doesn't mean God continues to inspire His Word. It means God continues His inspired Word. He guarantees that. And that passage in 2 Timothy 3 is talking to young Timothy, who was taught the Scriptures by his Hebrew mother and grandmother. Well, they taught him the Old Testament. That's all they would have had, which would have been fine, by the way. And those Old Testament Scriptures Timothy was taught that Paul said was by inspired of God were copies of copies of copies, because that's all they had. So the copy part has nothing to do with the inspiration of Scripture. Listen, people, God did not inspire a copy. God inspired His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God did not inspire writers. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Spoke, not wrote. What is important is, listen, it's very simple. The Word of God is what is important. Not the document, not the writer, not the era, not the seminary, not the Bible college, not somebody's interpretation. What is important is that you and I today hold in our hands a promised preserved copy of His pure Word. Now then, here's the issue this morning. Nobody in the modern version camp believes this is the inspired Word of God. It's a reasonable copy. But I have to have an every word Bible, because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I have to have an every word Bible. If I don't have an every word Bible, I don't have the Bible. That means God failed, and man has to fix that. That's where the modern versions come from. That's why she asked the Baptist churches, stand on the King James Bible. You say, well, you like it because it's old fashioned. Huh. May I help you with something? They never walked up to each other in the 1600s and said, how art thou? That was not common language on the street. That's Elizabethan English. It expresses plural in a pure form. The point isn't the language of the Bible. The point is it God's Word? Is this the pure Word of God? Not just the Bible. Is this what I hold in my hand? The pure Word of God. Ask the average Bible-believing pastor, do you believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? And he'll say yes without word of hesitation. Ask him, does it apply to any English translation? And he will tell you no. Or no, well, if it's only interpreted correctly. Oh, no, well, oh, excuse me. So then, my truck driving brothers this morning, blue collar workers, businessmen, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. So you have to have the languages to get this now. And without that, you don't know what the Bible says. That means you look at your Bible, you read it, and you think, I wonder what that says in the original language. Excuse me, you have a language you're reading it in. And God promised you, you would have it in that language. You would have the Word of God. So you could take your Bible, open it up, read it, and look at it, and know you have it. Now, here's the simplistic point of it all this morning, and that's this. We know God has preserved His Word because God said He did, and we have faith that God did what He said He did. And if not, we don't have a very big God, and we don't have a Bible to follow. Now listen here, you go home today, you open your book, my friend, the Word of God, you read it. That's what God wants you to know. And you don't have to question that. Oh, that questioning the Bible thing, you know, that's been going on for 6,000 years now. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam, Eve, the serpent. And what does he do when he comes down that tree? Slithers down the tree. They believe the serpent originally walked on four legs. I don't care what he walks on. My favorite snake is red and pulpy. But when that serpent addressed Eve and Adam standing there watching the whole thing, he didn't just say, that's not what God said. That's not what God said. He didn't start there. He started with a question. Yea, hath God said? Hey, he put a question in their minds and then changed what the Bible said. That's always the way it works. We got Christians sitting in churches today, I believe sincere people, but in their minds they've been programmed to believe, well, I don't know what that says because I don't know the languages. You've got English, it's in the book, what does it say? Now the question then is that God's Word. Is the King James Bible the Word of God today? Is it because we choose it as such? Is it because we decided it's so? You know the main reason I believe this is the Word of God, I hold in my hands today this, is because it leaves me with nothing but faith in God to know that I have it. Are there other proofs that prove it? Yes, and we've taught it here before. There's what's called internal and external proofs of the Bible. Internal proofs, what does the Bible say about itself? Does the Bible teach perpetuity? Does it teach preservation? Yes, it does. External proofs, the documents, the history of the Bibles. Yes, the King James stands all through that stuff. But the issue still isn't, can I convince you? The issue is, where is your faith? See, my faith is that God gave me His Word. Oh, I've spoken to theologians before, and we talked a little bit, and they'll say, well, now, what is your position on the Word of God, Pastor Johnson? I said, I believe I have a copy of the Bible in my hand. Well, now, you know, that flies in the face of theological training now for many generations. Yes. And what are your proofs for that? My grandma taught me it was the Bible. Now, obviously, I could try to do a little bit better than that with them, but when people are like that, I just love to keep it simple. Preacher was visiting a church preaching once, and as he sat on the platform with the home preacher, he looked up on the pulpit and he saw big letters KISS on the pulpit. And it wasn't like, you know, an invitation for KISS to come and play at their church. It was K period I period S period S period. So the guest preacher said, oh, your pastor, he said, what is that, pastor? And he said, my wife put that up there for me. He goes, oh, your wife wants to give you a kiss as you go to the pulpit. He goes, no. KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah. So what would you prefer this morning? Knowing that you have the Word of God because someone convinces you? That somehow through all the fingers of mankind and all the translations of it and all the attacks upon it, somehow or another we got a reasonable copy thereof? Or do you believe that the God who promised us in Psalm 12, 6 and 7 and Isaiah chapter 59, and by the way, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6, and in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, and from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you believe you have faith in God that you'd have a copy of His Word in your hand because He said you would? See, I'm more comfortable with that. Because now I go home, read my Bible and say, huh, I wonder what that says. I wonder what it really means. It says He would preserve His Word from this generation forever. So then I have one. And aren't you thankful that you have a copy of His Word in your hands? I'm sorry, that's not working. Did it go dead? I said, aren't you thankful? Okay, good. I thought maybe it was dead for a moment. No, it's just you. Okay. Now, here's the thing. The truth of the matter is, aren't you glad, though, to know that you can open that book, read it, and it's what God tells you? So then everything that it says in there that I need to know it. Because it's God telling me that, not man. See, everything in there it says I should do that because it's God telling me to do that because it's God telling me to do that. And everything it says I should not do because God said to not do it. And if it says heaven is air and hell is here and you get to heaven by Jesus Christ and salvation alone or you go to hell when you die, if that's what it says, then that's what it says because that's what God said. If God said marriage is between a man and a woman, then it's between a man and a woman because God said that. You can't change that because God said this because God said it. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about my political correct opinion because I don't have one of those. And it's not about whether or not it agrees with society because it's what God said. And that settles it. See, now that you say, but Pastor Johnson, it makes you narrow-minded. About that narrow right there, about from Genesis to Revelation, it makes me that narrow-minded. So I'm not going to get citizen of the year out of the deal. I don't care. I really don't. Appreciate those dear people who get those awards, and I'm sure they did wonderful raking leaves and stuff like that. But the bottom line is, see, I'm going to face Him one day, and John chapter 12 says, I'm going to be judged by that book. I'm going to be judged by the Word of God. God has promised to preserve His Word for us. If your faith is in God, you have a book in your hand that says, this is what God says. This is what He told me. Number two, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. I should probably stop there and let you go to lunch, but I'm not that hungry. 1 Peter chapter 1 and let's go to verse number 3. I will take just a few more moments. I apologize. I'm over time right now. If you're a Baptist, it's 12:15. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, please. God has promised to preserve His Word. Number two, God has promised to preserve His children. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. There in your New Testament, about two-thirds of the way back in there. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1 verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, verse 5, who are kept by the power of baptism. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of your life. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of your holiness. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of your living. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of who, dear people? Yeah, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. The moment you got saved, my friend, He made you ready to be revealed. He did not say you'll get ready. He didn't say you'll work at getting ready. He said He made you ready. And the power that saves you is the power that keeps you, and that power is God. Colossians 3:3 says, we are dead, and therefore our life is hid with... This suit has got pockets that go all the way down to the knee, for goodness sake. I got this suit off a guy in front of a circus selling tickets. Hold still. So, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. Here's you. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's how secure you are. In Christ, your life, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. In order for you to lose your salvation, you'd have to have greater power than God. And nobody has greater power than that. And God promised to keep you with that power. Now, you say, but kind of sounds like the same thing, Pastor. It's a matter of faith, of trusting God to keep me rather than me keep myself. Kind of like the same thing with the Bible. Does man tell me I have the Bible, or does God tell me I have the Bible? No, God tells you you have the Bible, and God tells you whether or not you're saved. When you trust Christ, God not only saves you, God keeps you. You're kept by the power of God. The Bible says, ready to be revealed at the last time. That's everything's over and said and done. It means this, it's amazing. The moment you trust Christ, you're as ready for heaven as you're ever going to get. You don't have eternal life someday, you have eternal life now. John 3:36, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Salvation is the deciding issue. If you have salvation, you have eternal life at that very moment. And the God who saves you keeps you in that same saved condition. You see, He's merciful. He's gracious. He doesn't take your will away from you. You can still choose to do wrong. And by the way, as a child of God, that's why we do sin. We choose to do wrong. Sin nature's power is broken, Romans chapter 6. But you still have a sin nature. But God is so amazing that He saves you and secures you. Well, then that gives me license to do whatever I want to do with my life. You know, in reality, that is true. It gives you license, but not to do wrong. It gives you license to do right. Hey, I'm not going to church to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I think I'll go to church. Oh, excuse me. Not think about it because it's too hot out there. I might as well go to church. Not like that. Our attendance is always up when it rains. Always. Who wants to go to the lake when it's raining, right? So I'll go to church. Excuse me. That's just a little bit backwards. You see, I don't have to do right. I want to do right. I'm not trying to earn anything with the grace of God. I'm just trying to say thank you for the grace of God. See, the only people who can really serve God because they love Him are people who are secure and don't have to. Rather than question, well, you got to believe that, you go out and get drunk last night. I didn't get drunk last night. No choice. No, could have done it. There have been times when you wanted to get drunk. Don't ask me. The truth of the matter is, but a marijuana prescription, I'm telling you. Sunday night, go home and fire up a bowl. I'm telling you, it would just... I'm an old boy from the 60s, you know. There was a time. Don't look at me like that. You do too. The truth of the matter is. See, you would want to do that, Pastor Johnson? No! I don't have that marijuana calming me down. I'm already ADHD, for goodness sakes. I could use all kinds of stuff that would help me. But you know what? I have the grace of God to help me. Dear people, listen to me. Don't you ever wonder why people who don't have to go to church do? We're not trying to earn anything. I don't have to serve him to get to heaven. I'm going to heaven. So why do it? Why did you do right? Save, secure, child of God. To honor him with our lives. To say thank you. What's wrong with that? That shows the height of love, does it not? Preserved, kept by the power of God. I'm going to finish the sermon this morning and I'm going to move off that point. So that was good. Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 28 to 30. I guess that means that Colossians 3:3 thing. God's powerful. I'm in his hand, and he's not going to let me go. You walked across the street with a child before, and they wanted to turn loose of your hand and take off, but because you held on to them, they were safe. That's how it works for you in our lives today, kept by the power of God. One more thing, and we'll finish here, and we'll go to hometown. Go to Matthew 16, verse 18. No, we're not going to go to hometown buffet. Matthew 16, verse 18. Going to Mexican food. I felt something on that. There's not Mexican food in heaven. I'm not staying. But there is, and I got Bible for it. That's right. The Chicano glory around the throne of God. Brother, let me tell you that right now. It's there. We all know it. Viva la raza, hermano. Okay, Matthew 16, verse 18. Here we go. Matthew 16, verse 18. And then Jesus says here, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will overcome it. And the gates of hell will overcome. Brother Turner, could I use you for a second, please, for an illustration? Let me show you the difference between Catholics, Protestants, and a Baptist. Can I show you that? Good. Here's the Apostle Peter, and here's the Lord Jesus. And I hope they will both forgive us for the analogy. Jesus is talking to the Apostle Peter one day, and he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Catholics and Protestants believe that Jesus built the church upon Peter, his descendancy of popes, etc. But what Jesus did say is this, thou art Peter, but upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Baptists believe the church is founded by Christ and upon Christ, not upon a man and not upon the descendancy of men. So the whole idea here this morning is not only did he found the church upon himself, when he was here he founded the church. But more importantly, he founded it upon himself. But also then, thank you, Brother Turner, also it says in verse number 18, the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Nothing that the church would do, his church, the one he started, he promised that church would prevail. That's what's called in theological terms divine perpetuity. His church would continue. Say, but wait a minute, Pastor Johnson, there's 1,200 Christian religions today. There's all these different churches. I mean, what in the world? It's a confusing mess nowadays. Yes, and there are versions and versions and versions and versions of the Bible. And hey, by the way, have you noticed there are versions and versions and versions of what a Christian is today? That's because people keep getting their hands in what God intended. But through all of that, God has kept his word for us. And through all of that, he's preserved his children for us. And through all of that, he's preserved his church too. Now, I'm going to say this morning without apology. The Shasta Baptist Church is not a perfect church. And our reason is very simple. We got people here. If we get rid of some of you people, all of you, as a matter of fact, we would have a perfect church. I have never had a chair complain. Never have a chair get upset with another chair. Never. Never had a chair say someone got my parking space. No one's ever said that. Never had a chair complain to me and say, I don't understand what's up with these chairs. Why don't these other chairs ever talk to my chair? Never had that happen. No chair ever came up to me and said, your chair took a chunk out of my kid's chair in the nursery. That doesn't happen either. Chairs never have problems. But the problem with that is chairs are lousy givers, so you can't have church. Now, here's the problem. The thing about church is this, people. Shasta Baptist Church is not perfect. And we do not believe for a second that we're the only church on the planet. Okay, are we clear about that? But we do believe this. We believe our linkage of heritage, faith, and belief goes back to when Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And we are not perfect at what we do, but what Jesus created was perfect. And we try our very best, watch, taking the book that he gave us, that he has promised to preserve for us, taking this book, putting it into practice in the Christian life, we can have a church that's what's supposed to be. So don't look for a perfect church, because we don't have that, and you can't find one of those. And I don't think anybody's reasonable to say they're looking for one of those kind of things. And I always tell people, if you're looking for a perfect church, don't go there. You're just going to ruin it anyhow. And if you don't like church, you know, you don't want to go to church because of hypocrites, come on down, make one more. What's the big deal? All that kind of stuff. Okay, are we clear? But here's the point. The point is, he promised that through all of this, now for almost 2,000, well, yes, for 2,000 years, his church has been on this earth. And people have tried to change things. And people have modified it. Some of you folks this morning, you can't go back to the church you got saved in, because it's not even the same anymore. Because they changed things and they changed this stuff. And this is not what else. Then that's, but excuse me, but through it all, he still promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church he promised to preserve for us. See, all I got to do is this. I got to find a book, the Word of God, that is in fact and indeed God's Word. Knowing that he has kept me in the same saved condition in which I got saved, I then find a church who believes and teaches and preaches what this book says, and you're okay. Now, there may not be a lot of them out there. I don't know how many I could tell you are in Shasta County who are like that. I don't know that. And I cannot tell you this one is perfect in the way we follow God's Word. Because you have an imperfect pastor leading imperfect people to follow a perfect book. You've done it before. The old days when you rebuild carburetors, remember those old days? Now they have fuel injection and you just push a button. But the old days, you take a carburetor part, boil it down real good in that chemical, right? They give you a kit with all these 142,000 little washer springs and stuff. And you put it all together. And if you're like any man has ever built a carburetor in your life, when you're done, you got a half a box of washers and springs that you don't think really should have gone in there anyhow. Until you put it on the engine and you fire it up and you blow the hood off your car. But you didn't think you needed all them parts and pieces. What guy ever read instructions to make anything? You look at it and go, I can put that together without instructions. And when you get done, it's a broom instead of a vacuum cleaner. I mean, it's a mess. Well, I'm sorry, but people have done that. And I'm sorry, even a good church won't be a perfect one. But I can promise you something, dear people. A good church is going to take the book they believe is the Word of God and teach it to Christians to live the way God tells Christians to live. And we're not going to modify anything. We're not going to change anything. We're not going to upgrade it, update it. We don't need to. It's eternal. The Word of God is eternal, and its principles are eternal. And we follow the eternal Word of God. We get in a church that follows the same thing. You're good to go. But now listen, he promised to preserve those things for us. Since he has, not if he has, since he has, then here's what I should do. I should make sure that I'm taking my word for word book, adapting my life to it, getting in a good local New Testament church that follows it, and do the very best I can to honor him in his word. And it's that simple. Over the years, has Shasta Baptist Church changed? Well, we've changed locations. We've changed, you know, we got better air conditioning than we used to have in the old Fig Tree building. When it used to get hot over there and it quit working, it was 114 outside. Yeah. Yeah. Got better facilities. Got more programs. We got a purse auction. We don't have enough potlucks. But what we believed 31 years ago when we started from scratch, and this guy was a young preacher then and started out, we still believe that 31 years later. You know why? Because the book hasn't changed. What a child of God is supposed to be hasn't changed, and his church hasn't changed. And we just stay with that. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.